Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father James Thayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Today we commemorate those women, the myrrh-bearing women, coming to the tomb of Christ to anoint his dead body. But it also, this day also commemorates Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, and who, after his death on the cross, brought myrrh and spices, it says in the gospel, 100 pounds weight. And it also commemorates Joseph of Arimathea, who offered to take the body of Jesus and who laid it in a new tomb. Everything on that Paschal morning, everything had gone horribly wrong. Jesus was arrested, stripped, mocked, whipped, tried, and crucified at the insistence of the Jews and with the collusion of the Romans. As Peter found out, even the disciples were in danger. Not only before or during his crucifixion, but even after. The disciples, it is said, were hiding for fear of the Jews. I would mention that this Sunday is a day to celebrate the bravery, the courage, and dedication of these people. Nicodemus, a ruler of the synagogue, could have been expelled from the synagogue, thereby losing his job and his prestige. And yet he publicly brought 100 pounds of spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Similarly, Joseph of Arimathea, a council member, it is said, took the body of Jesus, went very publicly to Pilate and asked him for the body. Everyone knew who took it. And he wrapped it in fine linen and laid it in a new tomb. And the women came at daybreak to anoint the body of Jesus. They were unafraid, wondering only who would roll the stone back for them. The 12 disciples were hiding, cowardly and afraid, at the darkest hour, filled with potential danger. We see these men and women showing courage, love, and faithfulness at a time of greatest risk to their lives and their livelihoods. When we contemplate these examples of courage, devotion, and faithfulness, we should be ashamed that we are not like the myrrh bearers, or Nicodemus, or Joseph of Arimathea. Our faith and the practice of our faith are weak, half-hearted, and lukewarm. And we know in the book of Revelation what happens to those who are lukewarm. But because ye are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, says the Lord, I will spew you out of my mouth. And so we are lukewarm. We fail in the simplest things, in prayer, in fasting, in attending church services. How many times have I heard people, and in confession, say, I failed to keep the fast. I failed to say my morning prayers. I failed to go to church services. And how many times have I said, I have failed to keep the fast. I have failed to say my prayers. I have failed to go to church services. More times than I am pleased to admit. Yes. Some of us may pass whole days without praying or even thinking about God. We stand under a great condemnation here. Our weakness, our cowardice, our faint-heartedness condemn us. They condemn us. And yet, my brothers and sisters, I would say, take heart, because although they came, especially the myrrh-bearing women, came to say farewell to their dead teacher, they found an empty tomb and a vision of angels. Then trembling, they trembled and were amazed, it says, for they were afraid. Jesus, then they were afraid. They weren't afraid to come out in public with spices to anoint Jesus. No, they were afraid when they saw the angels and the empty tomb. Yes, Jesus, crucified, dead, and buried, was now risen from the dead. And the disciples and the church in every age know that they do not anoint Jesus, but that he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, anoints us. By his Holy Spirit, he washes and cleanses us in baptism. He anoints us in holy chrismation. He feeds us in the divine liturgy. He anticipates and fills all our needs. As he says in the Sermon on the Mount, behold the lilies of the field, they toil not, neither do they spin, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cut down and cast into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And again, Jesus says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He provides bountifully for us, my brothers and sisters, in this world, anointing us with his grace and care and mercy all the days of our lives. And we are exhorted. The choir will soon be singing, and the priests will be saying at the altar, let us who mystically represent the cherubim and sing the thrice holy hymn to the life-giving Trinity, let us now lay aside all earthly care. I thought this with some poignancy last Sunday, because we are exhorted to lay aside all earthly care. And yet my sister who fell asleep in the Lord was told, lay aside all earthly care. There will come a time for each of us when we are told, now is the time, lay it aside. And by the way, I want to thank each and every one of you who sent me letters and cards and emails of condolence about my dear sister. Can we return his love and mercy like the myrrh-bearing women, as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea did? Can we observe all that he has commanded us? Can we, in things great and things small, be faithful and devout and loving? Some of us may have in our future great callings as missionaries, monastics, fathers or mothers, as clergy, as martyrs, or great ascetics and teachers of the faith. But whatever our calling, it is always to be faithful disciples of the Lord. Always to be faithful disciples of the Lord, no matter the risk, like the myrrh bearers, like Nicodemus, like Joseph of Arimathea, no matter the risk, they showed their love and devotion and faithfulness. They laid aside all earthly care for the love of God. And as I close this sermon, my brothers and sisters, let me suggest to you two ways, small but noticeable ways, in which we fail to imitate the faithfulness of the myrrh bearers right here on Sunday morning. The first, my brothers and sisters, is lateness to divine liturgy. The liturgy starts at 10 a.m. You should be here no later than 9:55 to say your prayers, to light a candle, to prepare yourself to receive this great gift of God Himself. When I see people come in 20 or 25 minutes late, I ask myself, what else are they 20 or 25 minutes late for? For work? For doctor's appointments? For school? For parent-teacher conferences? For your children's sporting events? My brothers and sisters, the time we spend in church, let's say it's an hour and a half, is about between 1 and 2% of our waking hours during the week. 1 and 2%. And the most damning words of our Lord to his disciples, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went off to pray and left them alone, and he kept coming back and finding them asleep, and he said to them, could you not watch with me but 1 hour? 1 hour? No, my brothers and sisters, let us resolve to reform and discipline our lives so that we are here on time and stay for the entire service, not to leave after communion, because all this lateness and early leaving are simply signs of disrespect, not to me, not to Father Noah, but disrespect to God. It is disrespect to God. Could ye not watch with me but 1 hour? My dear brothers and sisters, our Lord exhorts us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And yet, and this is the second way in which we fail to follow the myrrh bearers, is that I don't often see it because I'm occupied in the altar, but I hear that there is constant traffic in and out of this church, in and out, in and out. Now, I understand about babies who cry or need to be attended to, but adults, adolescents, children, no. This is not an airport, people coming and going. I understand little children who need to use the bathroom, or 3 or 4 year olds whose potty training is a little, and when they say, I need to go, mommy better be making a beeline, or there's going to be a serious accident. I understand all that. But older children and all adults should use the facilities before they come into church. How many times have older people gone on trips with their children? And the last words are, now have you all gone to the bathroom? Because we're not going to stop until point A, which might be 2 hours away. Too bad. You better be doing your business now. And once you come into church, you stay and participate. Children over about the age of six should not have, you know, picture books, coloring books, whatever. No. Stand, look, listen, and participate. No in and out. And if a child wants to go get a drink of water, that's fine. But you should tell them, you're not going to communion this week. You have broken your fast. Now, I understand that some children might need, I'm thinking of Asher when he fainted dead away. He might need a glass of orange juice or something before he comes to church to keep his blood sugar up. Fine, but during church, no, absolutely not. No crackers in church, no nothing for children. And no one, my brothers and sisters, no one, unless they are taking care of fractious children, should stay in the narthex. Only if they have crying or badly behaving children. Otherwise, no. My brothers and sisters, I do not mean to hector you. Hector is a verb meaning to bully or torment or browbeat. No, that is not my intent. But to exhort you and to exhort myself to become better myrrh bearers, better servants of the Lord Jesus, more faithful, more devout, more loving, more dedicated, that we might remain and grow in him who is the way, the truth, and the life, Christ our God, so that someday, and I hope my sister has heard these words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia.